Hi guys, and welcome back to the Martial Arts View podcast. So I thought today we'll do another instructor interview, and we've got Chris Crump here with me today. Hello. How are you doing, Chris?
I'm good, thank you. Are you?
Good, I'm doing very well, thank you. Yeah, so I thought it'd be great to get you in and obviously let these guys learn a little bit more about you. So if you've ever seen anyone doing back somersaults, flips, tricks, and loads of other crazy things, then that'll definitely be Chris.
That's me.
That's Chris doing it. If you hear kids asking someone to do a backflip, that's always Chris. So yeah, I thought it'd be cool to let these guys get to know you a little bit more. So when did you start training?
God. I think it's around 20 years now.
20 years, yeah. So and Chris is 54 now.
Yes.
He's not really. He's, how old are you, 26?
26. So around the kind of five, six. I think, when I first started.
Brilliant.
Yeah, a long time ago.
I know. And where was it that you started? Because obviously you didn't start with us.
No, I started in Doncaster. But I trained under Kim Stones originally. Okay. Out of our Armthorpe branch there. Started in Taekwondo originally. And then took on kickboxing because of the style of fighting. I think
I was
a little bit more...
You wanted to do that? Because obviously, do you want to maybe talk a little bit about what's the difference between Taekwondo and kickboxing?
Yeah, so the Taekwondo you tend to see at the Olympics. It's very kicky. They don't really use their hands a lot. So it's a lot of jumping, spinning techniques, which is really cool.
Yeah.
But I was a little bit more of a bruiser. I wanted to throw punches.
Do you actually hit pads in Taekwondo?
You tend to wear full body.
Right, okay. Like,
yeah.
So it's kind of you wanted that level up.
It's a little bit like points.
Yeah.
But slightly more exaggerated on the kicking side.
Yeah.
So we didn't really get too much into the sparring of it. It was more the traditional side that I kind of went down.
Yeah.
So it was a totally different thing.
Yeah, that's why I really wanted to do this with you, because I think that you're, obviously, majority of our instructors are kickboxing based, but you've obviously come from a really, really different background. How did you feel like going from Taekwondo to kickboxing? Was it quite different?
Yes and no, I'd say. It was in the techniques that we were doing. And the way that you'd throw them would be different completely. Mm. But the sparring element of it, you still used all the techniques.
Yeah.
So it just meant that you, rather than throwing, say, a front kick, you'd probably throw a spinning up kick.
Okay.
Or a turning side kick or something like that. So it was probably more advanced techniques earlier on, which you can obviously integrate into kickboxing, but it's a little bit harder to do so.
Yeah.
It's a little bit more pressure involved on the kickboxing side for sparring.
Yeah, it's something I've never tried Taekwondo. It's something that I'd probably really like to do, because it is all the flashy kicks. Is that right?
Yeah. Pretty much. Yeah.
All the flashy jumping, spinning, backflip.
The things that it's like points. A jumping, spinning technique or a jumping kick or a head kick score more points.
Yeah, and if you guys, obviously I did do a podcast, I think it's the Interclub podcast, and that actually explains the difference between points and continuous. So if you're not sure what we're talking about right now, be sure to listen to that one. It'll get you up to date a little bit more. So why did you start? Was there a reason why? Your parents put you in, or?
I had far too much energy. Far too much energy when I was little.
I believe you when you say that.
So they had to try and find something that would either get rid of that, or expend it all, just so they could focus a little bit
more.
We
see so many kids for that reason, don't we? Yeah. They have so much energy. And to be honest, I didn't start because of that. It was quite weird. Do you know what I mean? Mine was kind of like the bullying, that kind of side of it, and having the confidence to stand up for yourself. But I see, and I'm sure you do, so many parents that come in and they're just like, look, my kid is just crazy. Yeah, he needs something. Were you the crazy kid?
I was the crazy kid.
You were? No, I like that. But
the discipline in Taekwondo is paramount. It is brutal in some cases.
Very strict.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah, is it quite old school?
Big time. Yeah. A lot of stance work. So a lot of kind of sitting into like a squat for ages.
Is that like the ready stance?
Yeah, so you sit in stance or you walk in stance, and they keep you in that stance for 5-10 minutes until it was right.
Ooh.
And so your legs are like fire.
I don't know if we'd get away with that 20 years on, would we?
No, this is it. But it was tough. Yeah, it was brutal.
Yeah, but is that what you liked about it too?
I like the challenge, big time. Yeah, the challenge was impressive.
I think, and I don't know whether you're like this, but I'm one of these people where My coach, I need them to be strict. Gotcha. If I've got a coach that's a little bit more laid back, I can't believe I'm admitting this, but I think I need someone that's on me. Do you know what I mean? And that's why I think this old school way of teaching, and I think that at Martial Arts View, we have that balance. We still have the old school way, but it's a little bit more modernised. It's a bit more fun and stuff. But I can imagine that, obviously, like 20 years ago, like making kids stand in that stance for so long, that was just the norm.
Oh yeah, that was a normal class.
That's normal.
Yeah, that was a normal class. It was tough. And but then I think it did shape, especially the guys that I used to train with and compete with. And you look at the guys now and the level that they're at.
Yeah.
It helps massively.
Yeah.
And then that crossover, which naturally most of us did, that crossover into kickboxing from that. It made us quite hard to fight.
I bet.
And to compete against, because we had that old school, really strong stance work, our footwork was good.
And the mental toughness too, I bet.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah, but that had a big knock-on effect. So how would you say that martial arts has changed your life?
Oh, God. I can't imagine anything else to spend that amount of time. I've flitted and done bits and bats, played rugby, football, all sorts of stuff, but I've always come back to it.
Yeah.
Like, always. The families that you create through it has been awesome. Like, I've got long-lasting friends that'll be forever through doing it. And I couldn't imagine that being any different, to be honest.
Yeah, that is, like, a big... I think that's, like, everyone that I talk to who's been in martial arts for a long time, it's the people.
No, gotcha.
It is. It's massive, isn't it? I think the connections that you make, it's for a lifetime. That's the one thing that I found when I was at school, is that I found it, like... I'm such a social person, but I found it really hard to have, like, one set of really good friends. Mm. I had, like, loads of different groups. I was friends with everybody, but I didn't have that one core group that I really connected with.
Yeah.
And that's what I found when I started martial arts, is that I found my place.
Yeah, no, yeah, definitely.
I found my place.
I was very similar at school. I used to get on with most people. Didn't really involve myself too much with everybody.
Yeah.
But then the guys that we were training with and punching and kicking each other in the face, they were the ones that we were closest to, as mad as it sounds.
It is.
Because we'd all gone through that journey together.
Yeah.
So we were all there sweating, crying, and being in bits.
Together.
And, yeah, absolutely.
It makes you stronger. I think the ones that you have to go through that with, it brings you close together. And like I said, it's a weird thing having to... I remember, like, some of the girls that I used to have to spar with at the club, and they were my friends, and having to... competitively try spar and try beat each other, especially when we go to tournaments, it's really hard, but it makes you better friends.
Oh, God,
which
is definitely.
You'd never think that me punching you in the face would make us closer.
No,
it's mental.
It's weird. It is when you look at it like that, it's weird.
Non-martial artists will be listening to this and probably being like, What? You punch each other in the face and that makes you better friends.
Yes.
Now, don't be wrong, if you don't do martial arts, don't go punch people in the face, because that's not a good way to make friends.
No.
But in a class, in a session, it does. I think it really...
You drive each other on.
Oh, 100%.
Because, like, especially when we've started competing, it was... There was probably maybe five or six of us that were on it. And we were going to every competition. Mm. And every time someone got a little bit better, everybody else just upped. And it was just that constant progression. Like, you
that
could not
so
see
true.
Somebody be like, I'm not having him be better than me.
That
and that
so
was
true.
It. And you just drove and drove. And it just went on and on and on and on.
Yeah. I think I'm similar to that. Like, I like to be, like, especially with my own training, I like to be the worst in the room. Which is crazy thinking. Like, I'm currently training at AVT. And it is, like, an incredible gym. They've got, like, so many professional fighters. And it's crazy going from being third-degree black belt in our sessions to then going to AVT at our sparring sessions. And I look around the room and I'm like, I'm, like, one of the worst in here. But I know that is what's going to make me so much better.
Of course it is.
100%.
Yeah. If you rest on your laurels, if you are head and shoulders above in any situation, you rest on your laurels.
Oh,
you
definitely.
Just think, I don't really need to put that much effort in. And it's a subconscious thing. You don't think that's what you want to do. And but it happens. And it just
does.
Is fact.
I think it happens, like, with our mini dragons, doesn't it, when we move them into ninjas? Because some of them start getting I don't know whether too confident, maybe a little bit, they do, they have too much confidence in there because they're surrounded by younger people. And then I think that transition when we move them into Ninja Kids, it's tough, isn't it? Oh, it's God, really tough for them because it's that change, which is crazy. So anyway, we've gone a bit off track there. But so obviously now you're teaching with us, which is absolutely incredible. But why did you start teaching and when did you start teaching?
Quite a young age. I was probably 12, 13, training at the club. Still at school, but I was there 5 days a week. I was there more than some of the instructors. So it was just, and so then I started working on Saturdays and doing, helping out in classes and little bits and bats. And it was just that kind of surge of confidence from them obviously recognising something in me to do that.
Is that something you always wanted to do? Like when you started martial arts, were you like, I want to teach? I didn't until I was about 16.
I wanted to be a world champion.
Yeah.
And I wanted to dominate the series as much as possible. But I weren't that bothered about teaching other people. And it wasn't until I got a little bit older and I was helping guys out in the class that obviously, again, when you're at that kind of level and the guys that were on the team, we were competing if not every other Sunday.
Wow.
Like everywhere around the country. It was mental. Bless my mum and dad. I feel for him now.
How much money they would have spent on competition entries, petrol.
Actually message my mum the other day and say exactly that. I was like, I can't believe how much money you've pumped into me competing because it's ridiculous.
It is.
But that's the game that we're in.
If you want to, she's giving you opportunities.
She was also my coach, which was scary.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, so your mum coached you?
She used to coach. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, and was that in obviously taekwondo then?
No, kickboxing.
That was in kickboxing, right? Yeah. Okay, cool. Yeah. Cool. So when did you, obviously you did taekwondo, what age was it round about that you started doing kickboxing?
Probably about 9, 10.
Perfect.
I'd have said.
And were you doing like the musical forms?
Musical forms came later.
Oh, was it? Okay. So you did taekwondo.
Yeah.
About 9 year old, you started doing kickboxing. Mm-hmm. And when was it you started
probably
doing musical forms?
About 11. Right, 10 or 11. It was another avenue that I did.
Do you want to tell these guys what musical forms is a little bit?
Yeah, so musical forms, extreme forms, or all the names for it now, was originally created by Power Ranger. Actual Power Ranger. he started it 2002, around that
Not
kind of
that period. Long
Not
ago.
Really, no, at all. Mm-hmm. Yeah, around 18, 19 years, something like that. Mm. And it was just another expression. We had weapons. We already had weapon forms.
So that's like the nunchucks, karmas, those stuff. Yeah.
That stuff was already on the circuit.
Yeah.
But there wasn't really an open hand or no weapons.
Where
you
don't use anything.
And so then he put this kind of plan together, got a load of guys that were into kind of parkour and tricking and gymnasts and stuff, and then just kind of merged it all together. So it's a big mix of traditional martial arts with like your patterns, your forms, so the kind of pre-set forms that you have to complete for certain belts and whatnot.
Yeah. Because there's still a belt, there's like a sash grading system as well, isn't there?
Yeah.
So what order do they go in?
So it's very similar to taekwondo. So you start with white, you have white, yellow, orange, purple, green, blue, brown, red, and then finally your black. So there's different criteria for each one. Big things that we look for, especially with judging the extreme forms and whatnot as well, is obviously the traditional side of it is massively paramount. Like stances, I'm an old school kind of stances have got to be right.
You love the stances, don't you?
It's got to be. You start at the feet and move up. That's the way I do it.
Yeah, because you said something to me yesterday, not yesterday, when we were on about musical forms, you said something about the feet.
Yeah, start from the feet up.
Because it starts from the feet up,
so if you're
up,
judging,
yeah.
You start from the feet first and move up.
God, that's crazy.
It's
because Chris was telling me the other day, because I always assumed that like if you were doing back somersaults or like these mad tricks that I was saying to you that you'd win... And then, was crazy what you said, that actually it's not about that, it's actually about the combinations, like kickboxing.
Yeah, of course it is.
Putting a spinning kick into a jumping front kick into a cartwheel would actually score quite highly, which I never thought. I thought if you were doing, like, back somersaults that you'd automatically win.
Yeah, obviously the level of difficulty is one of the things that we look for, but I've competed and done competitions before where guys have had seriously, seriously insane amount of tricks.
Yeah.
And just stuff that I've looked at and think, I didn't even know that was a thing. I didn't know that was humanly possible. But then Wotton, because their chops and strikes and their stances and everything were absolutely rubbish.
Which proves that, because I think I had that worry, didn't I? That I was like, well, I can't do back somersaults and stuff, so I shouldn't do musical forms. And I think that that really made me realise that actually, I can still enjoy this and compete and still win without being this mad acrobatic.
Don't get me wrong, it looks cool.
And it's good,
it's always something that you work towards. Like, I couldn't do anything when I started.
Yeah.
Like, nothing. Like, my cartwheel was the worst thing you've ever seen.
Honestly, you should, if you guys see Chris, you need to get him to show you some of the stuff. But guys, obviously this martial arts for you live, you're actually on there teaching all this stuff.
There's two different videos a week.
Nice.
Of trick work and stance work and traditional stuff, and then the musical side coming in as well. So yeah, there's plenty going on.
I love that. Yeah. It's just a... It's a part of martial arts that I always knew was there, but can I be really honest right now?
Yeah.
I didn't respect it. Whereas now, I massively respect what you do. And until you do a session, it's so difficult. I was hurting in places I never thought I would.
That's what happens when you throw yourself around.
Yeah. It is.
And it's tough.
And now, like, I look at it, I'm like, that is such an art.
I would, fitness-wise, I would rather do... say, 3 back-to-back points fights, then have to do my form again after
time.
And it's like a minute and 30, roughly, as an average form. I'd rather do 3 points fights in a row than 2 of them back-to-back, because it's just so hard. That is it. It has to be intense. You've got to be unbelievably into it.
Yeah.
Like, the amount of
you're
power
on
you
stage, though, aren't you?
It's a performance, and you're showing what you can do.
Yeah.
And it is, it's tough. And people look at it and think, oh, it's really cool. But until you do it, it's hard.
Yeah, like, and how do you feel that, like, our guys are doing at martial arts for you?
Yeah. To say that we only brought this in this year.
Yeah.
The guys that we've got, and quite a substantial amount now, to be fair.
It's growing.
And the level is really high.
And hopefully this is going to enable people to know more about what you do.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And be able to come to your sessions that you're teaching.
Absolutely.
Do you want to maybe quickly, what days and locations are you doing the musical forms at the moment?
So musical forms is based at both, we have Selby on a Thursday, 6:30 p.m. and also on a Saturday at Selby as well at 1 till 2. We then have on a Wednesday at Acombe, 4 till 4:45, and then 5:30 through till 7 at Thorpe Arch as well. So we're getting around.
Yeah,
we're getting
that's there. It.
And we're getting more and more people coming to the sessions, giving it a try. Adults is growing.
Yeah.
Again, that's the good thing. That's the like thing I like to see, is that we do get adults jumping into it. I mean, the kids love it.
I think the one thing that I'd say to anyone listening is, don't do what I did. And don't have a judgment about what it is until you've done a session. Because I think these guys will probably be quite surprised, whereas if they did a session, they'd be like, actually, this is really good.
Yeah.
It's good fun. I think that's what I really enjoy about it. But no, it is. I think it's brilliant that we're opening that opportunity out to more people. And what do you love most about teaching in general? Not just the musical forms, because you teach our kickboxing classes too.
Yeah, yeah.
But what do you love most about teaching?
It's the thing The opportunities I got when I was training from my instructors massively shaped me into the martial artist I am today. And the competitions that I attend and the level, like the judging side of things and stuff, would never have been possible without those guys driving that into me. And if I can give even one person that kind of support...
Which I think you already are, but
we try. That's the main thing for me, is to give them that support.
Give them what you had.
Yeah.
Pass it on.
This is it. Exactly.
That's martial arts, though, isn't it?
Of course it is, yeah.
It's passing it on what you learn.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
I think that a lot of people sometimes say to me, they're like, where did you get that from? And I'm like, well, I didn't make it up. We copy. We see someone else do something, we're like, I really like that.
Yeah.
And then you learn and you maybe change it slightly, you make it your own.
That's
and it is. It's it's what I do.
It's an ever changing thing.
Oh.
It's always changing. So you've just got to kind of be open to it.
That's it. No, definitely. So what benefits do you see your students gaining from the classes that you teach?
So, obviously the fitness side of it is key.
Massive.
The health benefits, massively. Exercise is key for that. But it's also the psychological side of things. The confidence that we instill on them. and we bring them up through. We have quite a lot of guys that have trained with myself or prior to that aren't confident at all. And giving them that kind of level of discipline and giving them the belief that, yeah, they can do it. And then obviously we've got our grading structure that does all that as well, so we can say, look, you're quite clearly getting better at this.
Yeah.
You're getting more confident, you're getting stronger, you're getting better. And I think that's probably one of the main things that I like.
Yeah.
As a main benefit, is to build those kids up.
I love it.
And really turn them into proper
that's
people,
it. I think it's giving these children and adults these it's not just the martial arts, it's not just the cool skills that you see. The life skills, the confidence, the focus, the concentration.
Yeah.
They all have a knock on effect, don't they, which works so well. So you've obviously met some pretty cool people like along our journey, haven't you?
You've
talked to me about some of these people that you've met. I didn't know whether you wanted to quickly tell these guys, because we are going to wrap this up very, very shortly. So obviously, who have you met during
your journey? First one, the guy who made it, a Blue Power Ranger.
Power Ranger.
That's cool.
You've met the Blue Power Ranger. Trained with.
We did a couple of workshops with him. And
that is cool.
I thought it was cool. Especially as a 10, 11-year-old kid, I was like, oh my God.
I want to be him.
It was brilliant. They put the first kind of performance team together, which both Danny and Liam from Strike on Britain's Got Talent were in. Who were also both my instructors.
Yeah, definitely go look on YouTube, guys. Team Strike on Britain's Got Talent. They were... Oh, I remember watching them and being like, wow.
Yeah, so Danny was one of my chief instructors and Liam used to take me to competitions.
Wow.
So it was a good step up straight away from those guys. But then the other guys in the American squad, Craig Henningsen currently is Spider-Man. That's his job. What a job.
Oh, what do you want to be when you're older? I want to be Spider-Man.
So the last film that just came out, he was the stuntman for. And he's currently in the West End as Spider-Man, doing his own stunts and stuff. And it's just so cool.
Oh, we need to get these guys in for a seminar.
Imagine 100%.
That. Power Ranger, Spider-Man, like, that'd be sellout.
Awesome.
That'd be sad. I think just by our instructor team, they'd all want to be there. Imagine all the kids. Oh, they'd love it. You'd absolutely love it.
Cool.
No, brilliant. No, you have. You've had such a journey, which is awesome. Honestly, I could keep talking for ages. I definitely think we should do another one of these, 100%. But the last question I'm going to ask you is, what is your favourite move? What's your favourite martial arts move? You have to pick one of them. Musical form, kickboxing, I don't mind.
I'm a stickler for the old school stuff. And I think it's a sidekick.
Sidekick?
Straight at the end.
That is probably my favourite too.
Sidekick.
It's great, isn't it?
I love a sidekick. as much as I can do jump, spin.
And Chris can do some very cool things.
Spin, twisty, kick things and stuff. And that's all well and good. But you can't... Good sidekick is fine.
No, brilliant.
It's got to be.
Thank you very, very much. Well, that's all we've got time for today, guys. But please, obviously, keep tuned in. We're going to be interviewing some other instructors and we'll 100% get you on very, very soon. But thank you very much for that.
No problem.
I much appreciate it. And I hope you guys have a lovely weekend and a great rest of your Friday.